Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:36 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 10th. And today the big news was in the commodity markets, and not least in oil. US inventories were lower than expected, and oil price is up about almost $1.50. A little bit off the high, but not in a dynamic manner. The majority is really on the upside today, and this is a clear bounce from the region of around the $45 area. And let me just pull that chart over so we can see the prices. Then when we look at the medium term chart, then we still see that the progression of higher reaction lows has been broken. This is less consistent than it was previously. There is a rolling over characteristic that is still evident, but we're getting a short covering rally. There is at least some respite in the decline coming in. And of course, the big question will be asked when it gets back up towards that moving average, which is approximately $2 away from where the price is right now. But perhaps the much bigger question is the $60 area. This is really a textbook example of a volatile range. We are coming back down towards an area of potential support around that $40 area, and we have had a bounce now. What happens next? Well, the chances are that we get an additional bit of a bounce, but then we start running into overhead resistance, and $60 represents an area where a great deal of additional unconventional supply becomes economic. So oil really is for the bulls to prove in here. But because oil prices are rallying, that also gave some respite to a number of other commodities, and most particularly the precious metals. Silver prices in particular had come all the way back down to test the $16 area, and we can see that this is also a choppy environment on that weekly chart, but there have been consecutive weeks on the downside, and this is, and when we look at just one day after another that has been on the downside, this is actually the first positive day since the end of April. It wasn't able to hold the entire advance today, but at least somebody is thinking that around the $16 area, last time it got down to this level, we had a pretty impressive rally. So there is at least some evidence of support beginning to come in. The problem, though, is that they were not able to hold their advances in here today. Platinum did a little bit better, but certainly didn't recoup the decline that it had put in yesterday. But at least there is at least tacit support in around this $900 area. And of course, gold has yet to truly demonstrate that support has been found. It was actually in mildly negative territory today, coming back towards this $1,200 area, and that is where we saw a pretty impressive rally coming good over the last while. The one that began in March, we got a $100 rally out of that. It's also been down on consecutive days, and it's coming back towards this area. If it bounces from within the next $19, it will have at least held the progression of higher reaction lows since the middle of December. When we take a look at stock markets, then it was a relatively quiet day. The Dow Jones was in mildly negative territory, but we could say really that Wall Street was pretty much unchanged. The FTSE 100 was up about 0.6%, but a generally quiet day in Europe. And the Nikkei, having been around the 20,000 level on the futures yesterday, is closed out today around the 19,900 level. Now, that 20,000 level is a big psychological level for the Nikkei, and it really does need to sustain a move above it to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the very short term. But considering how quickly it got to this level and the extent to which the yen has fallen over the last few weeks, I think we are in for at least a bit of a pause and consolidation, with the yen coming back to this 115 level, which has offered such resistance at the beginning of this year. It's certainly not beyond the bounds possibility that we get at least some pause and consolidation. The second section index, which has been a clear leader throughout this environment, was in negative territory today, so it is finding at least pausing in the region of this 6,000 level, which is where it pulled back from in early April. This continues, though, to look like a generally bullish environment, but nonetheless, when we consider just how quickly the second section had gone up, then the potential for what could potentially be a multi-month pause certainly cannot be discounted in here. I'm posting a number of charts today for the US and Hong Kong listed Chinese shares that I suppose we could consider as large caps. They are performing quite differently from the A-share index, which is heavily dominated by the banks and the state-owned enterprises. And those are the subject of the deleveraging that is currently ongoing, and the clampdown on shadow banking and private lending clubs. Whereas when we look at some of the privately listed companies, not least those that are in the U.S., they're doing substantially better. So Alibaba pushing on to a new all-time high, or at least a new post-IPO high in here today. And that is pretty much setting the tone for just about everything else. Nonetheless, if we looked at the precious metals and thought that they had been down on consecutive days, so they're coming into an area of support, well, a number of these Chinese shares have been up on not just consecutive days, but on consecutive weeks. So then they are really quite overextended at this stage, and there is the potential that we're going to get a little bit of a pause and a consolidation. When we look at Europe, then it's a pretty similar story, that it was a reasonably quiet day. Where we did have some fireworks was chiefly related to the oil price, and the Brazilian market was up about 1,000 points. So we're getting some evidence that it has bounced now from the region of the trend mean. It is holding this progression of higher reaction lows that have been there since really the beginning of 2016. And if, for example, we look at an ETF which takes some of the currency out of the equation, then we have evidence that, you know, for example, a UK listed the iShares MSCI Brazil ETF, which is quoted in US dollars, that is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. So we have a broadly similar pattern, but we also get to see just how much the Brazilian market had pulled back because the currency had been so weak over the last 5 years. Or I guess the 5 years up to the beginning of 2016 at least. When we look at that continuous commodity index, it is still holding this 400 area, and it was in positive territory today. That is being helped along by the oil price. But we can see that there is still this progression of lower rally highs, that there have been some upward dynamics within that downtrend, but that the lower highs have proliferated and have been able to have continued to hold. So there is the potential that we get an additional rally in the continuous commodity index, but it really does need to sustain a move above 415 to confirm that this is more than short-term support coming in. When we look at, for example, the zinc market, that is where we have some clear evidence of support beginning to be found at the upper side of the underlying range. This has the hallmark of a first step above the base. So I continue to think that it is the industrial commodities, with the exception of iron ore, are where we have some of the clearest demand-dominated environments, whereas the energy complex has been very volatile, and the soft commodities have really been quite weak. So when we look at, for example, soybeans, it was in mildly negative territory in here today. It has paused in the region of the 2016 lows, but it has got some work to do, and I think that is something that we could say for the majority of the soft commodities, that they just have some work to do to demonstrate that this is a demand dominated environment. They have been quite weak, and that has been largely that has largely been because of crop reports. If we think about the bond markets, and I think that one of the more important charts is the 2-year, because it should be interest rate sensitive, and it is now pressuring the upper side of a first step above the base, and there is increasing potential that the Fed is going to hike rates in June. And considering that this is the 10th of May, that the bond market has been reluctant to price in the potential for a rate hike, with 2-year yields at 1 1/3%, they have been, they're not really pricing in the potential that there's going to be a rate hike anytime between now and 2019. That they still think that we're in a deflationary environment. They still believe that we're not going to have wage growth. But we are seeing increasing evidence that wages are rising, that we have low unemployment, and that there is the potential for fiscal stimulus. So these are all the kinds of things that feed into inflationary measures, and you're just not seeing it in the bond markets. That's that really does, I think, give us an example of the kind of contradictory thinking that you see at the top of every major bull market, that crowds thrive on contradiction. It's really only after the market has peaked that people realize that the contradiction, and that they are willing to accept that the contradiction was in fact nonsense. And that, and I think that that is where we are with the bond markets right now. We are in the disbelief stage of the bear market. That's, I think, perhaps the most important point that we can really consider. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.